We begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, the provisions you make for us physically and spiritually. We thank you especially for the freedom that we enjoy in America that allows us to meet together and to worship you in freedom. We thank you for preserving your word and sending your spirit to help us understand it. And we pray, Lord, this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to what you're going to speak to us this morning. We thank you for the measure of health you give us, each one of us. Pray that we'd be grateful for all you're doing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I took on way too big a subject when I started this, so I had to cut it down quite a little bit. We're going to talk about some thoughts about God's will, especially as it applies to us as His creatures. But that's an awful big subject if you've ever looked through it. So we'll see if we can get it down to where we can handle it this morning. The first thing about God's desire is that He wants fellowship with us, with human beings. And I looked diligently through the Bible and some of my commentaries, and nobody has any idea why that's true. Why would He want to have fellowship with us? He lives in a perfect situation, which, you know, we don't even understand the word. And yet He's there, but He wants to have fellowship with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says in verse 4, who, and he's talking about God, desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The first thing we find out about God's desire for His creation is that they come to the knowledge of the truth, and as a result of that, they get saved. He asked before that we would pray for our government and that they might allow us to live in a free country that lets us look into His Word, lets us talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you do that or not, but it's something that's real conscience on my mind. Because you hear news all the time about countries where they don't have that privilege. And Mark brought it up downstairs as we were closing our Sunday school class this morning. If you don't practice, you don't get the results you want. And maybe we need to pray for our government. It's a mess. There's intelligent people standing up there in Congress arguing with one another and not accomplishing anything. The only advantage of that is they don't do as much harm when they're doing that, when they don't accomplish anything. So pray. Pray that we would have the privilege of telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing them to the knowledge of the truth, that they might be saved, because that's God's desire. He also says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, in case you get impatient, I don't have that problem, of course. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. It's His will, it's His desire, and He's waiting for somebody out there to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. To do that, those of us, at least who were adults when we came to Christ, had to change what we were thinking. That's repentance. See, I'm waiting for some of these adults to chew on that for a while. See, once upon a time, you thought your way was right, whatever that way was. Some of it was really leading to disaster, and some of it was just not leading anywhere. That was where my life was. It wasn't going anywhere, physically, spiritually, financially, or anything else. The only thing I'd accomplished was married a beautiful woman. And she had two kids, I think, by that time. Otherwise, we were just random. You had to change your thinking. You had to come to understand that God knows best. And most unsaved people don't believe that. So, come to repentance. Turn around in your thinking. That's what God's will is for those that are not saved. I'm going to talk about God's plan for believers and not call it His will. Because as the more I studied this, the more it seemed to me like when you use the word will, the connotation is that that's what's going to happen. Because it's God you're talking about. And if it's His will for something to happen, it's going to happen. Because He's the boss. So we're going to talk about God's plan for believers. After they get saved, His plan is to make us like His Son. Down here on this earth. Now if you read the scriptures pretty carefully, you know that once you're saved, at one point in time, when time ends, you will be glorified and you'll be like His Son. Because He's already promised that. But while we're living here, it's God's desire that we would become like Christ when He was here. Now that is a big goal. Some of us, He had to start way back there to start working on this. Romans 8:29, it says of God, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." That's God's desire. God wants us to be as much as is possible in the time we have left to become like Christ. So we're going to look at some of the things about this plan that God has for us. First of all, God is heavily involved in this plan. Otherwise, it wouldn't work at all, of course. So He's heavily involved. Looking at Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. If we accept the fact that our steps are ordered by the Lord, it ought to bring lots of delight. The first thing that comes to mind is God absolutely knows the past, the present, and the future perfectly. Now, what better guide could you have than somebody who knows the future perfectly? He also knows you perfectly. Now, we don't, of course. The Bible's clear about that. We don't know our own hearts, but God knows them. So He can lead with perfection. If there's a fallacy in there someplace, it's because we lose track of where He's leading from time to time. In Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 5, it says of God, "Having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." It's His plan. It's His good plan that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship." There are no self-made Christians. You can't get a hold of your bootstraps and pull yourself up. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And not only that, but God has made the good works for you. He's created us for work that He wants done. And He does it perfectly, like He does all things. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, "I don't like what I see"? Have you ever told God, "I can't do this"? I was working for a company called Copper Supply when they went broke. And it was my good fortune that a group of men decided to buy it. And so I kept my job and kept my wages. That worked out pretty good. I was driving a delivery truck, and that I liked it. Gave me a lot of time with God. I learned more spiritually probably that 2 or 3 years, and I hadn't a lot of times. And I come back in off of a run, and the new boss said, "You're a production manager." And I said, "I don't know anything about production manager." He says, "Well, I don't know anything about ag products, but I guess we'll learn together." And I don't know how many times in the next, I think I worked for him 12 years after the company changed, that I told God, "I can't do this." And he would just say, "Well, I know, but we'll work it out." And you know, it worked out. We never went hungry. I had a house over my head. We sent the kids to school. You know, we weren't rich, but we did fine. And the job went well, and the company made money. But I could not do that job. I know how many times I said, "I can't do that job." So he has a plan. He's made us the way he wants us. He's provided work for us if we'll just let him lead. Now, why he lets us get our back up against where he's going, I don't know. I have no idea. No more than, why does he love us? Why does he want us? But he lets us act silly and go off on our own plans, which almost never work. So, don't do that. That's my advice to you. Get in touch with God. Find out what he wants for you, and let him do it. That's the best plan. It's good for him. It's good for us. Well, he's involved. He's clearly, completely involved in getting his children to where he wants them to be. And then we're involved also. We have a part to play. Most of you would be familiar with Romans 12:2, I suppose. I am too, but not up here. It'd be better if I was in Romans. And he says of us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to this world. Boy, that's easy to get conformed to this world. To want to do what everybody else is doing. And it's away from God. That path is away from God. As far as I could tell in my life, always away from God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a couple things to think about that. God knows that when he takes us in as his adopted children, we need to be transformed. The world is not God's place. We are. And we need to get out of the world and into God's presence. And you do that by transforming your mind, by changing your thinking. "I can do it." No, you can't. You just think you can. And that will prove to you, not to God. God doesn't need proof for anything. To you, what is God's perfect will? As soon as we let go of the world and start thinking about godly things, we become closer to God. We get closer to what his will is for you, his plan is for you particularly. You can't know unless you communicate. and you can't communicate with a worldly mind, be transformed. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us. That's transforming your mind, by the way. Get rid of the weights that are dragging you down. That's the world and all your... I don't know how to put it exactly, but we want to be like the world because that's where we live. We don't want people to say, you're different. Is that true? Don't we want to be like the world? We want our neighbors who are not saved and they're out doing whatever the unsaved people do to not make fun of us or say bad things or whatever. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I believe the sin that so easily besets us is unbelief. You know, we get in touch with God. We come to this church on Sunday morning and we fellowship with Christians. We listen to His Word. We sing songs about Him and so forth. And we get in touch. And it really works. And then you go out and things don't go exactly like we think they ought to go. And you say, like this certain cowboy says, God, where were you? Or where are you? You said you love me. Why am I going through this? You know what that is? That's the sin which so easily besets us. We believe, and then we don't believe. And then we believe, and then we don't believe. Isn't that true? To the best of our knowledge in prayer and study and so forth, let's try to get rid of that. You know, God doesn't change. It says over and over in the Scripture, He is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if He loved you yesterday, He loves you today. And when you get saved, you cannot make Him mad at you. Did you know that? Because it says that He knew us before the foundation of the world. And He saved us anyway. So He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. And He saved you anyway. He loves you anyway. It would be good for our relationships with God and with each other if we could just get rid of unbelief. Run with patience the race that is set before us. It takes an infinite amount of patience to deal with God's timing. Or at least that's what I find. It's never my timing. Yeah, I want something. Usually I want it now. But anyway, I want it to work the way I want it to work. And God just says, just be patient. Just wait. It helps me to realize that when He deals with my life, He's also dealing with everybody that knows me and that I know. You ever think about that? When He does something for you that's good, other people see that. And they say, well, God loves, you know, and He's loving Joe Blow. And when He does something that brings pressure in your life and in His power and wisdom and strength and whatever else you've managed to run with patience once in a while, then people look at you and say, you know, here's a person that believes God, loves Him. In other words, we're not isolated. Everybody's around us. And God has to deal with all those people. So sometimes it takes patience. If you read the Old Testament and look for that, there are people who lived their whole lives for just one point of glory for God. Now, I don't know what He's doing with you or with me even. But if he wants to wait till the very last end to bring Himself glory through my life, that's His business. We need to just hang in there and keep trusting and believing. It's clear from Scripture that God wants us to know His plan for our lives. It's not a secret. He's not hiding it. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, if it says that clear, it's in here. It's in your communication with God. It's in the circumstances He brings you into. You can know what God's plan is for your life. I don't know whether you want to know or not. It might be scary. It might be real scary to know God's plan. A few more other facts about His plan. His plan is very specific. In Isaiah 30:21, He says, "Thine ear shall hear a word behind you, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." Are you listening to God? Would you recognize His voice if He talked to you? The Spirit's trying to communicate with God's children all the time, I believe. And we know He's communicating with God all the time. And the Scripture says He's able to interpret what's on our heart to God. Don't you suppose He can interpret what's on God's heart to us? But we have to listen. You can't let the world choke it out so you can't even hear it. You got to listen. Proverbs 15:19, "The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway." If you know God's plan, if you're walking in God's plan, I believe it will be like a highway. It'll be smooth, and it'll go the place that God wants you to go in the most direct route. When it gets slowed down is when we get off the edge and start going over here and doing something that we want to do. And then God has to bring us back to the highway again. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns. Are you looking at His Word on a regular basis? His plan is not only specific, it's good. Again, a familiar passage, a lot of Christians have memorized it. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For if then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt make good success." Stay in the Word. Learn God's plan for you specifically, and hang in there. That's about what it's about. Be patient. Wait for Him to work it out. "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe it according to all that is written therein." You know, a thought came to my mind. I don't know if any of you know anything about golf or not. I don't know much. But Tiger Woods, the number one player in the world, got in trouble not knowing the rules on Friday. And they docked him 2 points Saturday morning. He moved the ball when he wasn't supposed to. So. And if anybody ought to know the rules, it's somebody who is number one in the world. He hadn't meditated on them long enough. Do you know what God wants for you? It's in the Scripture. And it suggested that you might read it. And study it. Psalms 1:1-3, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Get out of the world, in other words. Or get the world out of you. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's pretty hard to put into practice in our world, in our culture. But as much as you can work it in, look at God's Word. Meditate on it. See how it applies to you. Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Or is it something you do as a burden or don't do? There's quite a lot of difference from just doing it and having it be the delight of your life. And it promises that if that's true, you'll bring forth your fruit in the season that God has for you. Not somebody else's fruit, your fruit. You're not supposed to do other people's jobs. He's got work for you that He made for you. And if you do that, it'll prosper. Well, God's plan. You want to know God's plan? Like I said, it can be scary. But here's some ideas we might try. Psalms 143:8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Are you waiting for God's word? Are you desiring that He tell you what it is? I trust in you. But God, did you ever say, but God? Trust and wait for Him to tell you. James 1:5. This is all about asking God. Any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The first time you need to know something about your life, the plan for your life, who do you ask? See, you're thinking about that, aren't you? God would suggest that the best place to go, and the first place to go, and maybe the last place to go, is to God. I said before, He knows the future perfectly. He knows how you'll fit into it. And He's able to help you do what He's got planned for you. So why do you go to the banker? Or your buddy? Or maybe even your folks. That might not be the first place to go. Not a bad place. Just ask of God. But there's always problems, you know. James 4, 2 and 3. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Part of the problems comes into our life because we don't go to God and say, what? What next? But some people ask, and they don't get it anyway, because they ask amiss that you might spend it on your own pleasure. You ever ask God for a better job? A newer car? Better house? All those worldly things that we want? Sure you do. You don't always get them because God knows which ones you can handle, I guess. Some of it's just for our own pleasure. It's the only reason. It's the only reason we want it. This is an interesting one that I thought, I don't think I've ever done that. Colossians 1:9. This is Paul speaking. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, that is their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Have you ever asked a Christian brother or sister to pray that you would understand what God wants from you? Is anyone praying for you right now in regard to God's plan or for wisdom about God's desire for you? right now, today. I know that in a group this large, there are people right now who are thinking about major changes in their life. And you may be praying about it. You may be asking God about it. Is somebody else asking also? Where two or three are gathered together, there I am also. Two strands are stronger than one. Seemed like a good idea, and I've never even thought about it before, actually. We asked, even downstairs, do you pray for somebody else? Pray that God would bring about something that you think is good. Are you even open to the possibility of somebody knowing enough about you to pray for God to make His plan clear for you? First John 5. There's a point of confidence in God if you ever get to that point. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence we have in Him, that is in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If your relationship is good enough with God, that you believe that He hears you, being His child, and asking in trust and faith, He'll provide that which you ask for. Do you believe that? I think that's what I read in there. Anyway, God desires fellowship with His creation. I don't think anybody can deny that fact. He sent His only begotten Son that He could have that fellowship. That's pretty serious. God leads us, if we allow Him, and does most of the work. We need to do what He says. He has a plan for each of us, an individual plan. Not all of us are alike. Not all of us are going the same place. Or not all of us have the same community around us that's going to be influenced by our life. So it's an individual plan. Don't look to somebody else and say, I want to be like that. God doesn't deal with that. We're all different. His plan, when you allow it to happen to your life, is good for Him and for us. It might not always be the most prosperous in worldly terms, but it certainly is in Christian terms when we allow Him to use us. And I believe with all my heart that He'll make His plan clear if you plan to work in His plan. More light for those that have light and use it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the way You've used us up to this time. We pray, Lord, that You would continue to use those of Your children to influence others. We pray for those that would speak Your gospel message around the world. We pray, Lord, especially that You would bring those that are ready to Yourself. And many would be saved. We thank You for in Christ's name. Amen.